This is The Break on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Robin Garland, here's Brian Barrett.
All right, joining us now, three-time Pro Bowler, now with the Pac-12 Network and Compass Media, Chad Brown. Chad, thanks for taking some time, man. We really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys. Certainly appreciate it.
Anytime. So, hey, Chad, we know, of course, you spent some time with Bill Belichick, and really the most drama going on with the organization has been the past couple of months. One of the questions Bill Belichick was asked the other day at his press conference was, does the team have to know why Malcolm Butler didn't play in the Super Bowl? If you were a member of that team, do you think that you would have to know why Malcolm Butler didn't play?
Bill Belichick has a great way of explaining things to his team, and usually it's going to be couched in the phrase, I made the best decision for the football team. And at no point during my time there or even since I was there have I thought that Bill made a decision that was personal based, or somehow he was trying to do something other than what that phrase entails. When I was there, I was 38 years old. I was a backup linebacker, and I was playing on special teams. So when they released me during the mid season of that undefeated year, they said, "Hey, we need younger, fresher guys on special teams." It wasn't personal towards me, and that was actually the fact. They needed younger, faster guys on special teams. So when he makes a decision like he made with Malcolm Butler, and he explains it to the team, it's probably going to be, in that type of phrasing. I made the best decision for the football team, decision I thought would best help us move forward and win games. And usually, players respect what Bill has to say because he has a track record of doing just that.
Chad, I know it was like a year and a half that you spent with Tom Brady, 05, and then as you mentioned, that 07 team, you were on there for a while as well. What was Brady like as a teammate?
James Harrison had some quotes last week about Tom Brady being, I think, the best teammate he's ever seen. And it was as if James had taken the words out of my mouth or has read my interviews over the years when folks have asked me this same question. Literally the best teammate I've ever been around. And it sounds corny, but when a new guy comes to the locker room and the Patriots turn over those bottom five guys on the roster probably more than any other team in the league, that new guy comes in, the first guy to go up and shake his hand is Tom Brady, and he'll say something that's going to sound incredibly corny. "Hey, I'm Tom Brady. You got any questions? If I can help you in any way, let me know." And it's just a great way when the best player on the team, the guy who sets the tone for that entire team and that entire locker room, is that kind of teammate and inspires everyone else to be a better teammate. Tom does everything that is asked of him. He works incredibly hard in the weight room. He's not moving a whole lot of weight because he's Tom Brady, but he works incredibly hard. He sits in the front row of the meeting. Bill yells at him just as much as he yells at anybody else. He works incredibly hard in conditioning drills. So when you have a teammate who does that, actually is a great teammate, not just superficially, not just for the show, but because he understands that the better teammates we are, the better chance we have of winning. Again, it sets a tone for the entire team.
We're chatting with Chad Brown, former NFL linebacker with the Steelers, Seahawks, and Patriots. Be sure to follow him on Twitter. He's at ChadBrown94. Switching over to the Pac-12, since you were just at Media Day earlier this week, is the Pac-12's championship, as the weakest Power 5 conference, is it in need of repairing? I mean, each team lost at least three games last year. The conference was bad in their bowl games. Is this a situation where a team, and I think currently not right now, that's Washington that's favored, but is this a situation where the team has to make a playoffs this year? What's the fix?
The fix is tricky, Robin. Pac-12 obviously has great quarterback play. If you want to watch explosive offenses, you certainly will watch the Pac-12. Those teams in that conference are going to put up 35, 40-plus points almost every single week. And we see, some of those Pac-12 at night barn burners where it's literally 45 to 47 by the time those games are over. The issue with the Pac-12 is the line play on both sides of the ball. It's just not as advanced as it is, say, in the SEC or in the Big Ten. That's where the big difference is. Talking to Chris Peterson about the game a couple years ago that the Huskies played against the Crimson Tide. He's like, when they walked out of the locker room, I just thought, oh, my gosh, these guys are just so much bigger, so much more developed on the lines than we are. not that he thought they didn't have a shot, but, you know, I reminded him, I was like, Coach, I called your game last year against Montana, and you guys put 70 points up on Montana. Do you think you felt going against Montana like that, against the one Alabama, like that Montana coach felt going against you? He was like, wow, I hadn't thought about that way. But, yeah, probably just like that. When they saw us on the sideline, they were intimidated by our size and our presence. The same thing when we saw Alabama. That's the difference between the conferences right now, is that offensive line and defensive line play.
All right, well, Washington is opening up against Auburn. Is that a must-win game for them?
I won't call it a must-win, but I think it would be good. It would go a long way to proving that the Pac-12 is not just a quarterback's league, that they can actually compete in physical-style football where the game is going to be won or lost in the trenches. Washington has some good returning offensive and defensive linemen, so I think they have a shot in that game. But they've got to shift their mindset a little bit. I think when Pac-12 teams go play other conferences, they can't be in that kind of shootout mentality that I think that dominates the Pac-12. They've got to change their mindset and go with a little bit more grinded out, maybe from an offensive play-calling perspective, be a little bit more conservative with the football, make sure you don't turn the ball over, because those games are not typically going to be, you know, 35-42. Those are going to be much more low-scoring games and one in the trenches.
We're chatting with Chad Brown. You can follow him on Twitter, at Chad Brown 94, three-time Pro Bowler now with Pac-12 Network and Compass Media. All right, Chad, looking at Clay Helton, he loses Sam Darnold. Now Chip Kelly comes in to coach at UCLA. How much pressure is on Clay Helton coming into this season?
Winning the Pac-12 championship last year, I think that obviously put some pressure on Clay Helton. Now you're trying to replace Sam Darnold. And you are at USC, where the expectations are always going to be high. We're always going to have, you know, the pick of some of the best athletes in the state of California coming to USC. Kids in Southern California, where I'm from, we grew up, you know, imagining ourselves playing in the Coliseum, wearing that USC uniform, and, you know, hopefully winning a Heisman Trophy. If you're a great quarterback at USC, your chances of winning the Heisman just automatically go up. So there's all that tradition that is adding to the pressure that Clay Helton is under. I think they have a tremendous chance of winning the Pac-12 South. Whether they can defeat a Washington team, say, in the Pac-12 championship, with Jake Browning coming back, who was Pac-12 offensive player of the year 2 years ago, that's another matter to be seen.
Chad, we have two Heisman candidates out of the Pac-12 this year, Stanford running back Bryce Love and Arizona quarterback Khalil Tate. What are you expecting out of these two guys this season?
David Shaw just raves and raves about Bryce Love, and I think that praise is justified. He's perhaps the most explosive player in all of college football. His ability to break long runs is something I haven't seen in a long time. The biggest thing for Bryce Love this year is going to be, can he stay healthy? I think sometimes as a smaller running back, you're always looking to break the big play, and sometimes it's okay just to get a couple of yards and go down and keep yourself healthy for the next carry or the next game or the next series. As far as Khalil Tate, I think last year he was, in Kevin Sumlin's words, and I'll steal his phrase here, he was an athlete who played quarterback. And I had an opportunity to call the University of Arizona spring game this year for the Pac-12 Network, and they really were clearly working on Khalil Tate's passing game, so he can become a quarterback who is a tremendous athlete and not just an athlete who plays quarterback. So they've got to take some strides in the passing game to allow those lanes that he had last year as a runner to be open. And when he gets a chance to be in the open field, he's probably as explosive as Bryce Love. He's rarely going to get to be caught from behind. His ability to make people miss with that zone-style running attack that they have is probably unparalleled. He's probably the best quarterback runner in the NCAA. But, again, he's got to find a way to improve his passing game to take some of that pressure off of him and his ability to run the football.
We're chatting with three-time Pro Bowler Chad Brown right here on The Break on SB Nation Radio. Chad now at the Pac-12 Network and Compass Media. All right, Chad, you mentioned Robin asked you about Bryce Love. I found it perplexing yesterday. Dennis Dodd of CBS called him out for deciding to go to class instead of attending Pac-12 Media Days. I believe he's pre-med. I thought, if anything, Bryce Love would be praised for doing something like this, and you see somebody in the media just calling him out. I was really confused by that type of situation.
I'm confused as well. You know, Stanford is definitely known as a, you know, high-level academic institution. So if it were maybe a guy from a different school, maybe you could, you know, kind of look at it a little differently. But this is a kid from Stanford who chose Stanford not just to play football, because of the academics there. And with his major, with the fact that he's really trying to talk about being a doctor in the future, it all made sense to me. Now, he did make himself available via video conference for everybody at the Pac-12 media days to be available to ask him questions. So it wasn't as if he was hiding away or trying to not be available. But I give the kid credit. He's far smarter than I was when I was at the University of Colorado, and far more dedicated to his academics than I was. So he earns the tip of the cap for me, for sure.
But he doesn't know as much about reptiles, Chad. Come on, don't sell yourself short.
Very few do. Very few do, Robin, just to be clear about that.
Okay, well, Chip Kelly is bringing back his high-tempo offense to UCLA. Will his offense work today? I mean, obviously it did 5 years ago, but how much of that needs to be tweaked? Does he have more innovation in him?
I think he does have more innovation in him, and he did talk about that at the Pac-12 media days, how, 5 years ago, he was one of the few teams who had that style of offense. Almost everybody has now at least adopted some of the core principles of that. Not everybody goes hurry up all the time, but they have that as available to them. Not everybody goes spread all the time, but they use it as part of their offense. And you don't have to look much further than Alabama, which for years and years and years under Nick Saban, why don't you just go pro style, very methodical, and line up and beat you with the guys up front. Even they have taken over and adopted so many spread principles. So that shows you how far the ripple effect of Chip Kelly style offense has gone, all the way up to the top levels of college football. And even somebody as resistant to change as Nick Saban has seen the benefits of that. Well, for Chip Kelly and the UCLA Bruins, every kid who plays defense in college football has now seen the spread. Every kid who plays defense in college football is used to up-tempo offenses. So he's going to have to dig deeper in his bag of tricks. And considering all the things that he's done and what he's seen as a pro coach over the last 4 years, and then taking this year off, having a chance to be in that ESPN studio and see what everybody in college football is doing, I believe there'll be lots of tricks coming from Chip Kelly this season.
All right, Chad, before we let you go, who wins the North? Who wins the South? Who ends up winning the conference? And does that team ultimately get into the playoff?
I think to go in the order of your question, it will be Washington that wins the North. Jake Browning, I think, just gives them an edge over everybody else. And, again, they've got a great young secondary back there. Offensive and defensive line play is definitely strong. I think Stanford can give them a run for their money, but in the end it will be Washington. As far in the South, I've got to go with USC. They are talented, but they are breaking in a new quarterback. So somebody like in Arizona, if Kevin Sumlin can do what he's talking about and turn Khalil Tate from an athlete, play his quarterback, into a quarterback who happens to be a tremendous athlete, that gives them a shot. But I'll go with USC there. And in the Pac-12 championship, I think Washington is just a little bit further ahead of USC. So they win the Pac-12 championship, and I think that will be enough to get them into the playoffs.
All right, that's Chad Brown now with the Pac-12 Network and Compass Media, three-time Pro Bowler. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter at ChadBrown94. Chad, thank you so much for the time today, man.
Yeah,
we really appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Chad, and we know you'll be covering the Denver Broncos, who are starting their training camp today, so you'll have to come back on with us later this year to talk Denver Broncos.
Yes, certainly. Have me on anytime. Broncos, college football, or we can dig into Brian's favorite subject there, the Patriots and Bill Belichick, if you like, as well.
Yeah, I just want an apology from Bill, Chad. Come on. You got to play Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl.
I don't think you're ever going to get an apology from Bill, because in his mind, he made the best choice for the football team, and why would he ever apologize for that?
Yeah, I was just looking for a handwritten letter to me, because I know he loves writing letters, so maybe it'll come one day. Thanks, Chad.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
All right, great stuff there from Chad Brown.